It was a fascinating game, though, man, because obviously, you look at Brooklyn and you say, all right, well, they're not full strength. Yeah, well, they're not full strength is still a machine gun.
Most teams
Right.
overstrength.
Yeah. And the Mavs were able to pull it off. They were able to pull it off without Maxey, who I honestly view as probably their most important piece outside of Luka for keeping things together.
Even more so than KP, because they're without KP.
Yeah, and I stand by that. I think for the ceiling, KP is more important. I think for day-to-day, Maxey is probably more important. But they go into the fourth quarter down one, and they got things done, man. And
Got things done with the supporting cast, too. We talked about, was Rick motivating Josh Richardson the other day?
seems like it worked.
Was the guy he was using to motivate him? Did that buoy hit him as well? Just using Josh Green? Like, now we can get him in there too. Tim Hardaway has been kind of balling out. Jalen's been Jalen. Because those guys held it together when Luka had some extended time.
Foul trouble.
Yeah, and he's sitting on the bench for the beginning of the fourth quarter. And the game was, I think, tied when he went out and tied when he came back in. You certainly have to worry about that if it's a KP-less Mavs. If Luka goes off the floor, what happens then? They held serve.
Yeah, and
Held serve, is that what you would say? I was trying to be cool.
I think
Do
so.
sports talk. That cool? Did that sound cool when I said they held serve?
It sounded awesome,
Yeah, all right.
frankly. Jalen Brunson, what do you think his 2025 season looks like? Like, do you
He'll
think.
be re-signing with the Mavs after somebody else gave him a big contract, and then he didn't live up to those expectations.
Do you think so? Like, do you think he's
Don't
in
you
the.
feel like he's working him his way into one of those "I can't afford to keep him" deals, and then the other team won't be because he's not really a. He's in a perfect role for Jalen Brunson.
But that never lasts, right? Like,
Because someone you get
you're in the gray
overpromoted
area.
somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think it's perfect right now. But I think if you counted on him to be your starter, you saw it with JJ Barea. That was my comp I was going with.
By the way, I think I said Luka was in foul trouble. He just played the entire third quarter and didn't get out in the fourth. And I think Brunson is.
He did have four though, didn't he? Or at some point maybe he did. All right. Whatever.
I think Brunson is, no disrespect to JJ. I think Brunson at this point of his career is where JJ was like in his prime.
And Brunson is playing closer minutes.
Yeah.
We keep talking about that third star we want with KP and Luka. He might be it.
But can your third star be a bench player? The 2011 Mavs would certainly tell you yes.
Jason Terry.
Yeah. Different type of player.
But he would also close games.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I wonder, and if in a couple years from now you retain Jalen, and of course at this point Luka is eligible for a $50 million a year extension this summer.
This year is?
This summer, yeah.
What is that? The Supermax?
The terminology is a little bit funky because the typical quote Supermax means the guy who's been with his team for 7 years, 7+ years. That's when you can really jump up because it's all a percentage of the cap. So not to get lost in the weeds too much here, but 7+ years, you're eligible for a higher percentage of the salary cap, which this is Luke. Basically, it's Luka's rookie scale Supermax. Because there's also a thing where after that, after the 7+ years, teams can designate two players to get even more. But they have to have been with the team for a certain amount of time. So, like for the Warriors, I think they did Steph and Draymond. They might have done Steph and Klay, but my point is just you can't acquire a guy and then offer him that. They have to be your guy for however many years. But the point is, Luka can make more as a Maverick than he'll ever be able to make anywhere else. So he's going to sign that this summer. I would bet my life on it. But if a couple years from now you're looking at Luka and Jalen from the same class, that's lethal. That doesn't happen much.
No, getting Jalen where you got Jalen doesn't happen much.
No. So the popular joke to make now is, boy, I can't believe the Mavericks were able to get Tim Hardaway Jr., and they only gave up Dennis Smith Jr. and 2 first-round picks. Because it's hard to imagine where this thing would be without Timmy.
Yeah, for sure. But like Jalen, and Jalen might be more consistent than Tim Hardaway Jr. this year. But Jalen did go away for a while.
I would say there's no doubt, even with that.
He went away for a little bit, but Tim Hardaway does have some down times.
The other thing that I came out of last night thinking was, I'm not exactly sure how to evaluate Steve Nash as a head coach. Because this team, the Nets, obviously has massive limitations. Those limitations present themselves even more whenever the players that you have given away to acquire your three stars, if one or two of those stars are not there, your weaknesses get exposed. They don't have a big. They're a bad defensive team. So I think you and I both, whenever Steve Nash was announced, like basically out of the blue as a head coach of the Nets, we were like, how in the heck is this going to work? I could see him being great at ego control, but does he have any idea what he's doing tactically?
You know what? I don't agree with I can see he'd be great at ego control. I don't understand what is in his past that would make anyone say that.
His demeanor. His been around the blockness.
Okay, so what's he do when Kyrie just says, but I've got to be off for 2 weeks now?
Lets him, and that's what I mean.
Okay, now when Harden is getting pissed at that. Just his experience on ego control is zero. I don't think he's ever been around anything like this.
Well, don't you think
and no one has
a point guard in the NBA for 15 years, like you do have to develop some level of this is how we deal with this guy, this guy, this guy. Yeah, like he needs the ball. He's mad about this, so I got to kind of, you know,
yeah, but what about
the garden over here a little
bit. Doling out, you know, if you are actually steering the ship and you have to sometimes. I mean, Kyrie has said there is no head coach.
Yeah.
That it was him and KD. And I would guess he's invited Harden to be a coach as well. I mean, Steve Nash, to me, was almost like Avery Johnson car dealership. You're just throwing your name on something. And he was around the Warriors. So I don't know, man.
Well, they're 23rd in defensive rating right now. So the question is, can they get healthy? And this is going to be really interesting because typically the way it always worked was you need to be top 10 offense, top 10 defense to be a contender. So, for example, the Mavericks championship year, they were 10th. Not great, but 10th. So as we enter into the regular season means less and less load management, that sort of thing. LeBron did this in Cleveland 1 year and they made the finals. They didn't win, but how much can you look at regular season team statistics and say that does qualify you or doesn't qualify you for postseason success? Because the Nets right now profile as not a contender, despite the fact that they have three of the top 10 players in the league. Well, top 15, 20. They're 23rd in defense, and I swear to you, last night, every single time the Mavericks came out of a timeout, it looked like they had no idea what they wanted to do. And that honestly applied offensively, too. There were a couple times last night where 10 seconds into a possession after a timeout, it's just a Kyrie jack-up three. And you're like, I guess that's what they drew. They must have drawn that up. It just looks awful. Like, and I'll watch the Nets when they're on national TV and you're kind of, you know, you're not taking notes. You know what I mean? But then when it's the Mavs, you're like, dude, this team doesn't have a plan.
And
at all.
It also looks weird because D'Antoni's on his staff. And I guess just to me that Nash played for D'Antoni and now Nash is above D'Antoni. Just a little unstable.
In title only, right?
In title only. That's what I think. I think Nash is kind of like your HR department, and D'Antoni is installing a lot of things. But somebody, whenever I posted about this last night on Twitter, was like, that's what people used to say about Eric Spoelstra. Let me remind you, Eric Spoelstra was hired as a video coordinator, and then he was an advanced scout. So when you go to a Mavs game as media and you're lined up, there are eight guys in front of you who are there for the team that one of these two teams plays next. And they're taking extremely copious notes on every possession. He did that. Then he was an assistant. Then he was an assistant player development. And then he was a head coach. So despite the fact that we all thought it was weird that the Heat hired Spo when they did, and he initially kind of got trucked by LeBron and Wade, that dude had put in 15 years of work. Nash just showed up.
No, I thought Nash was a curious hire, and I did not understand the wave of positivity that came with that hire.
I think he's just because he's a likable guy, but that's about it.
I didn't think, again, I think there was a lot of Steve Kerr comps at the time, like, oh, he could be the Steve Kerr of Steve Kerr was preparing for that job since he retired as a player.
Yeah.
And he showed up, if you what's that Warriors book?
Beta Ball.
I mean, he showed up. They detail in there on how prepared he was. He had, you know, binders of information. It was like Belichick going to Cleveland first time and then to New England, where he had been in the weeds all these years developing, okay, when I get my shot, I want to do this. This is how I'm going to do this. This is the kind of player I'm going to look for. This is how I'm going to run practice. He was all ready for that. They called Steve Nash. He was like, oh, yeah.
I know
I'm
Kevin.
Good with players. Yeah. I know Kevin from the Warriors. I just feel like and they said, and I think they just believe it, well, if we got these players, it doesn't really matter who the coach is. And I even think these players think that as well. Hey, it doesn't matter. We're us. And I think they think they can turn it on in the playoffs, and they don't have to worry about the regular season stats you're mentioning or their chemistry even. I might point, though, to the Clippers last year and how that worked for them in the playoffs.
Yep.
Because I think that was largely their thought.
That's a great point. All we heard about was their 12 games when they were all there.
We were absolutely sure they were going to win the title when the season started, right? Or at least Ballmer was.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a great test case for that. And does that mean I want to pick against them? I'm not sure. But I know that Giannis and Joe Embiid have some medicine for them, because they don't have a big. They opted for, we just want a bunch of guys who can score. But the problem is, there's the classic, there's only one ball. So at the end of the day, like, you're going to have to stop the other team at some point. Kevin Durant is a great defender, but is he squaring up with Joe or Giannis? I don't think so.
What happened to DeAndre?
He's 100.
Well, he was always credited with good interior defense and rebounding.
How many years ago?
Yeah, that's a thing, man. And they've tried Blake. Blake Griffin's not defending anybody, and they're playing him 28 minutes a night. That's a very, very weird team. They're as top heavy as we've ever seen. So it's a pretty good experiment on how much all in can you be on. We just want guys who can score. We'll figure out the rest of it.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.